Matthew. Mm-hmm. I want to start at Matthew 21. The Passion Translation. This is Matthew's account of Mark 11:23. It said, astonished, his disciples asked, how did you make this fig tree instantly wither and die? Jesus replied, listen to the truth. Listen to what?
The truth.
The truth. If you have no doubt of God's power and speak out of faith's fullness, you can be the ones who speak to a tree and it will wither away. Even more than that, you can say to this mountain, be lifted up and be thrown into the sea and it will be done. Here's the key. Everything you pray for with the fullness of faith, you will receive. Everything you pray for with what? So what do you receive if you're not praying with the fullness of faith? Nothing. And we really need to take time to understand that. Because a lot of times we think about, do I have enough faith? And the Bible, as I'm reading and studying, I'm not seeing a lot of focus on, do you have enough? I'm seeing focus on, are you operating in what you have? Because what you have is enough. Tell your neighbor, what you have is enough. This scripture says, everything you pray for with the fullness of faith, you will receive. Everything. I like it. Scripture says, in him, meaning in Christ, dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we're in Christ, so in us dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Or as I was thinking on this afternoon, in us, all the power of all of the Godhead dwells in us. All of it. So why are we trying to determine how much we need? For me, this may seem a little extreme, but I think when it comes to spiritual things, extreme is the only button you can push. You know, there's no mild, moderate. No, I'm extremely saved. I mean, that's just what it is. But if I'm faced with someone, now I'm 69, 270 pounds, 6'6", and I'm faced with someone that's 10, 82 pounds, soaking wet and with boots on and an overcoat. But we're squaring off. You think I'm going to hit him with a 10-year-old punch?
I don't think so.
No. No, I'm not going to try and gauge how much of what I have is needed. All of it is coming out. My philosophy, shoot the mouse with an elephant gun. Everybody says, oh, no, you don't do that. That gun's too big for the mouse. What is the motive of shooting the mouse? The elephant gun will make sure. No more mouse. But we're trying to figure out, okay, in this situation, I only need 30% of my faith or 40% of my faith. No, you need the fullness of every ounce of faith that you have. And you need it all of the time. Think about what this scripture says in Matthew 21. It said, listen, I tell you the truth. If you have no doubt of God's power and speak out of faith's fullness, you can be the ones who speak to what? No, but what does it say? You may not have the Passion Translation. It says, you just want to speak to a tree. Yes, verse 21. You can speak to a tree. Out of the fullness of your faith, you can speak to a tree. But it says even more than that. With the same faith at its fullness, you can speak to a mountain. The same faith, the same fullness of faith that you need to speak to the tree, you need to speak to the mountain. There is no difference. The problem comes when we either think we don't have enough or don't need all of it. We don't have any thermostats, you know, that is circumstantial, any circumstantial thermostats, where depending on what we're going through, that's how much faith gets released. We don't have that. We're designed, by Hebrews 10:38 says, the just shall live by faith. But it also says, if anyone draws back, I'll have no pleasure in him. So if I'm facing a situation and I don't come at it with all of my faith, I'm drawing back. I'm drawing back. That's why God has me confess. I'll say exactly what you tell me to say. I won't pull any punches, so you won't have to pull me from the lineup, because pulling punches is drawing back. When you pull a punch, usually the purpose of pulling a punch is so that your opponent can win. Was a boxing term, and years ago, I don't know if they do it now. I don't follow boxing anymore. But they would, you know, bet on fights, and then they would fix the fight. And the guy would look like he's throwing a hard punch, but he's holding back. He's pulling it. So you think he's hitting hard, and the other guy's so great, and then the guy hits him, and he lays down. And if he's like Jack Johnson, he lays down and covers his eyes from the lights. I'm still trying to figure out how you do that when you're unconscious, but... it happened. And when I realized that pulling, if I pull punches when I'm sharing the word, what I'm doing is giving an opportunity for the devil to win. When you choose not to operate in the fullness of faith, you're giving an opportunity for the devil to win. And when you're in a fight with the devil, it's always a fight for your life. Why would you want him to have an opportunity to win? You snatch defeat from the jaws of victory when you do that. And I understand that that is not something that you want to do. Now, I want to bring something up. Did you find that scripture for me, Jackie? It's all right. I'll find it.
You mean the roof situation?
Yes. The roof situation. Okay. See, this is why I usually cut and paste all of my scriptures, because the internet back here is just a little different. It's just a little different. But I was looking at some things on there that I think we're going to find interesting. Here we go. Yeah. Come on. Where's my internet? There we go. Finally. The great rooftop debate, right? I'm still trying to get this to open. Here we go. I'm going to share it in the King James. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and there was noise about that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, and no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word to them. And they, now this isn't the one I want. I want the one where it says the power was there to heal. Okay. Luke 5. Good. Thank you. You get an A for the day.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Now. Okay, and it came to pass on a certain day he was teaching, and there were Pharisees, yeah, this is one, doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Why was the power of the Lord present? Well, think about this. These were Pharisees. They were teachers. They were religious leaders. So if the power of God was there to heal, then there must have been people there that needed healing. Okay, what does verse 18 say? And behold, men brought in a bed. How come verse 18 doesn't say, and all of them got up and went to Jesus and were healed? He's in a house filled with people. The power of the Lord is there to heal. The power of God is there to heal. And nobody gets healed.
Because there was no one there believed.
There was no faith. Or if there was faith, there was no fullness of faith. These folks obviously believed something about Jesus. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been there. But this wasn't just a handful of people. The place was packed. The power of God, what some translations say, was just emanating all through Jesus, and nobody got healed. Which lets us know, just because the healer is in the house, if there's no faith, nobody gets healed. And no one got healed. Then verse 18 says, and behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with the palsy, and they thought means to bring him in and to lay him before Jesus. It doesn't say who these men were. It doesn't say where they came from. It doesn't even say they'd be able to get in. These were common men. It doesn't say that they were Pharisees or religious leaders or teachers of the law. So what makes them think they're going to get in? They said, Jesus is there, we're going. We're going. They didn't think about, well, we didn't RSVP. They're thinking, the healer is there, we are going. And so they went. And now they get to the door, and there's so many people there in the doorway, they can't get through the people. They can't get through. They didn't say, well, hey, we tried. The people didn't turn around and say, well, kudos, guys. You made a good effort. They didn't come for kudos. They didn't want kudos. They wanted to be healed. Those men said, we didn't carry this guy all this distance for kudos. We want healing. Healing. So they needed to figure out what to do. When they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up the housetop. They went up to the roof. Whose idea was that? They don't know. There's no indication that they knew the owner of the house. You're going to climb up on the man's roof and tear it open. And you're on a stretcher. They didn't come with the right materials to climb on the roof because they never thought they'd have to climb on the roof. But they said, we are getting in this place. But they didn't just want to get into the place. They wanted to get before Jesus. Now think about it. They didn't have any blueprints. They didn't have any tools. Nothing. So how did they figure out where to open the roof so they can drop this cot right in front of Jesus? Didn't think, no, you're going to hit him on the head. No. They didn't go with what they didn't know. They went with what they knew. And they knew if they got to Jesus, their friend would be healed. That man knew, if I get to Jesus, I'm going to walk out of this place. See, too many times we get caught up in what we don't know. I almost did. I'm like, Lord, I just spent 4 hours. And everything is gone. Everything. I even did the I repent for my error, Lord, and expect it to be gone. Gone. So I said, okay, I don't have those notes, but I still have you. And you will be enough for me. Period. That's it. It's enough. Is there any fine points that I want to get to? Well, when we recreate things during the week, the next time I come, we'll do it then. But for right now, we're going with what we have. We're going with what we know. That man knew that Jesus was the only one that could heal him. And so he was placing everything on that. Didn't care about anything. Didn't care about how he was going to get there, how he was going to get away, what was going to happen when he got there, if he was going to be accepted or not. He didn't care about any of it. This is where the source of my healing is. That's where I'm going. Period. And nothing was going to deter him from doing that. So they go up to the house, to the rooftop. They open the roof. Doesn't talk about any debris falling inside and injuring anyone. Today, it'd be on an episode on personal injury lawyer, you know, it came in and bopped somebody on the head. They didn't think about any of that. They lowered the man down. Now, I don't know how they carry him, and they have 4 ropes to lower him. I don't understand it. I don't know how it happened. But I know that the fullness of their faith took care of it. Well, I don't know if they just dropped him straight. I don't know. But they got him in. And guess where he was positioned? Right in front of Jesus. Right in front of it. And the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. When your faith is full, it's tangible. It can be seen and it can be felt. It can be felt. They'll know you're in faith. How? Just by watching you, seeing how you walk, hearing how you talk, seeing what you do. Everything says this person is full of faith. They believe what they say. They believe. One time, we had spent about 2 years training our young people on chastity. And then I asked a couple of them to write articles or write really compositions. They did. I submitted them to Pastor Sarah, and I said, you may want to put these in Horizons Unlimited. And she did. There were three of them, and she put them in. And as a result of it, it was Pastor Dean Brown called and asked if he could reproduce them. And I said, why? He said, well, we're having some chastity issues. We have young people, and we want them to see what other young people are doing. I said, well, if you want, you know, I'll check with the pastors. I'll bring a group there. And that was our very first chastity seminar, where we took a group of our young people. Friday night, I went and I met with the parents. Then on that Saturday, we had the group. I think it was now Pastors McClanahan, because they're pastors now. They dealt with the parents, and I stayed with the young people, and the young people had a little forum. And then one was singing, and she was singing the song, I Hunger for Holiness. Before she started singing, there were two young boys, and they were talking about her. And they heard what she was saying, and one boy said to the other, yeah, she just hasn't met me yet. I know she's saying, now they don't know who I am. And I'm just standing there, and they're looking and saying, hey, I got it going on. I said, you got something going on. But then he watched the way she sang that song. His whole countenance changed, and he nudged his friend and said, she means it. She means it. And then when we gave the altar call, he was one of the first ones down. Okay. But he looked at her body language, her facial expressions, and heard the way she was singing that song, like, I hunger for holiness. And he said, she believes this thing. Folks, people will believe. Demons will know if you believe. They'll know. And if you don't believe, guess what you can't do? Fool them, because they will find you out. So Jesus saw their faith. Listen to this. I found this very interesting. He said to the man, your sins are forgiven. That's what he said to him. Thy sins are forgiven. Verse 21 doesn't say, and the man jumped up and ran out of the house. The man acted like Jesus didn't say anything to him. You know why? He didn't come there to hear your sins are forgiven. He came there to hear you are healed. Why am I impressing that? Too many times we go to get something, and we hear a good word, and we get settled with that. Well, I guess that was for me. No, it wasn't. That's not what you came there for. You came there for healing. This meant, yeah, okay, I'm forgiven. That's cool. I still can't walk. I came here to walk away. And then Jesus starts talking with the Pharisees and folks. How long did that take? They start murmuring. Why are you guys thinking this and saying this? And this man, he's still lying there. He's not, come on now, we want to get home before midnight. He wanted to hear words that indicated he was healed. And he wasn't settling for anything else. Too many times we get excited, we hear a word. Well, it's not the word you came for. It's a word, but it wasn't what you were there for. Jesus didn't say that for the man's benefit. He said that, I said this so that you'll know that the power, that the Son of Man has power here on earth to forgive sins. He was also demonstrating to us that if we're in him, if he has power to forgive sins, we have power to forgive also. As a matter of fact, we're commanded to forgive. But Jesus was proving a point to those folks that were sitting in the room. This man was proving a point. I ain't leaving here until I'm healed. I mean, it's that simple. And when so Jesus said, whether it's easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee or say rise up and walk, he was asking a question. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then he turns and says to the man sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go to your own house. He said, get up, pick up, and go. That's what he said. And he told him, I say to you, get up, pick up, go. Go to your own house. Man was like, yes, sir. Got up, picked up, and left. Why? He was full of faith. And his faith said, you're healed. He heard the words he'd been waiting for. He heard them, and he acted on them. He didn't want good job. He didn't want kudos. He didn't want, you guys are tough. No. All those, that's nice. Thank you. I want my healing. I want to walk. I didn't come here to be carried back home. I came here to walk home, and I don't care how far it is. I'm so happy to use my legs, I don't know what to do. Okay. See, we get too caught up in trivial things that have nothing to do with your purpose. If your purpose is getting healed, then you need to do things that lead to healing. Period. And stop making excuses. You know, well, I don't know if I have the faith for that. Why not? What do you have faith for? Think about what you have faith for. And then realize that that same faith is enough for anything that you tackle in life. The same faith. Remember what Jesus said. If you had faith, you would say to the sycamine tree, be uprooted, cast into the sea. And what did he say after that? And nothing shall be impossible for you. Nothing. Nothing. Mustard seed size faith. I'll get it right. Okay. Which leads me to believe, because if Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, tells me that we have much more faith than that. Because he's using an analogy. He's saying, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. So obviously our faith is much more than a mustard seed. But if he's saying, if it were only the size of a mustard seed, not only could you move mountains, but nothing would be impossible. So if nothing would be impossible for you with a mustard seed size faith, why are we getting excited thinking we need more? Just because the issue sounds like it's big. Goliath was big. But he wasn't bigger than the covenant. And he wasn't bigger than the revelation that David had of his covenant. And we need to understand that. The same covenant, as I told you the last time I was here, that same covenant that allowed David to be able to keep his sheep in order, allowed him to protect the sheep from a lion. He didn't say, God, a lion's coming. I need a little more covenant power here. No, the same thing that caused him to be able to first tend to the sheep allowed him to keep the sheep from a lion. And when a lion happened to take one, he went after it and took it back. And when the lion got upset with him about it, David killed the lion. He didn't run home and get his 30 M16 or whatever weapon and shoot the lion. He killed it with his hands. And now a bear comes. Bears are bigger than lions, who are bigger than sheep. When David started out, some of the sheep were probably bigger than him. but the same covenant, the same understanding of the covenant, took care of the bear. Same covenant, same understanding. David didn't say, oh boy, this is a bear. They could stand, be 10 feet tall up on their hind legs. No wonder Goliath didn't look so big to him. But here comes Goliath. Folks, we have to stop paying attention to what other people are saying about what's facing you. Because they're speaking from a place of fear. You have the entire Israeli army, all of the high priests, and King Saul tell David, you can't go against this giant. So what are you going to, for another 40 days you're going to run and hide? David's like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he's going to defy the armies of God? What is this disease? Who, the coronavirus is going to come and defy the children of God? And we're going to allow it? I don't think so. Not on our watch. That needs not on our watch. We tolerate too much stuff. You know, hurricanes will change direction. Why do you want to send it on someone else? Look at it and tell it to dissipate. I was in Ocean City. We went there 4th of July, which I'll never do again. But we wanted to go, and I wanted to see the fireworks. So we're on the beach. Storm clouds are coming in. Police are on the beach, and they're saying, we're going to have to evacuate the beach because this storm coming, it's a major storm. The police officer tells me, Father, I came here to see the fireworks. I want to see the fireworks. Lord, so I command this weather in Jesus' name to stay clear till after the fireworks. The sky started clearing. They started, but the police weren't paying attention to that. They were going to radio, yes, there's a storm system, you have to leave. I'm like, I just prayed. Look, the clouds are breaking up. And they made me leave the beach. So I left the beach. About an hour later, it started to rain. So the fireworks would have been over. It started to rain. I mean, it rained. Then when the rain stopped, they had the fireworks. I saw them, but I wasn't there. I saw them from like 2 miles away because we just got on the bus, went back to the hotel. You know, but I said, see, I could, but staying there, I would have had to violate the law. I'd have been on COPS, you know. But I believed with everything that was in me that I could speak and the weather would clear up. I'm believing that the body of Christ will get to the point where we'll pray and we'll command it to snow over the ski resort areas and nowhere else. And I'd love to hear science, you know, explain that one. Hey, the question is, do you have faith, say the size of a mustard seed? Then you can speak to the weather and it'll snow only over the ski resorts because it said nothing will be impossible. Nothing. If we learn how to operate in the fullness of what we've been given. And everybody has faith. Everybody that's a Christian, that's a believer, has faith. For grace are you saved by, through faith. The same faith that got you saved gets you healed. I should say the same faith, be more accurate to say the same faith that got you saved will cause the manifestation of your healing. Because you've already been healed. You've already been healed. The same faith. You don't need any more.
Maybe you're healed, but you're still ill,
God sees you as healed. When he said you're healed, he sees you as healed. As far as God is concerned, you're healed. Period. There is no doubt in his mind, and there can't be any doubt in your mind. You know, when I wound up going to the emergency room. I took a steroid, prednisone, and that caused my blood pressure to go. I mean, they would have been able to lower the man from the hole it made in the roof. It went so high, so fast. And I went to the hospital. I wound up in the emergency room 16 times, 13 by ambulance. Every time they come in, I mean, we were on a first name basis. Pastor Greg, are you back? How you doing, Pastor Greg? I've never been better in my life. But you're in the emergency room. I know where I am. Your blood pressure is 210 over 130. I realize that. What does that have to do with how I am? God says I'm whole. So I say I'm whole. They said, wow. They said, what? I had blood clots in both lungs. Multiple blood clots in both lungs, multiple blood clots in both. They had two other people in the hospital with one blood clot in ICU. I have multiple blood clots in both lungs, and I'm not in ICU. And a doctor said to me, he said, this is serious. I said, okay. He said, okay, yeah. Are you not concerned about this? No, I'm not. He said, may I ask why? Sure. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. He said, be not dismayed. I've overcome the world. I've taken away its power to harm you. I said, so doc, you could say, in this world, you might get blood clots. Don't be concerned. Jesus has already delivered them, beaten them. He's delivered me from them, and he's taken away their power to harm me. Amen. Doctor looked at me again. And he said, wow. I said, so what do you need to do? He said, well, we have to give you injections. I said, okay. He said, no, not in your arm. I said, wait. He said, in your stomach. I said, okay. Because I prayed, I said, God, what do you want to do about this? He said, let them do what they want. And I said, what they want? He said, I got this. So I let them do what they wanted. They gave me the injections. And I said to him, I said, I'd like to see the CAT scan. And they said to me, no, I don't know if you want to do that. I said, look, every procedure that's ever been done to me, I've been alert and watched them do it. I can handle a CAT scan. And he's showing, I said, where are the blood clots? He's showing me the clots. And he said, this is what's interesting. And he points to a place, and he says on the screen, normally the blood clots come to this point, and then they go here where they get into your heart and they cause problems. But for some reason, yours got to this point and went to the left and the right into areas of your lungs that were not as critical. I said, that was Jesus taking away their power to harm me. But I was speaking out of the fullness of my faith. I realized that speaking in faith that wasn't full at that point could cause me to see Jesus prematurely. I mean, that's what it is. So you have to know what you're talking about, and you have to believe it. And if you don't believe all of it, then you're like the father with the demoniac son. Say, I believe, help me in the areas I don't believe. I believe, but the way it is messing with me with how it looks, that's being honest. And what I find amazing about that account is that man was operating in the fullness of his faith. He was operating in every bit of faith that he had. He said, I believe, help me with my unbelief. What did the disciples say? Nothing. Because they weren't in faith. Because if they were operating in the fullness of his faith, Jesus wouldn't have had to do anything. Wouldn't have. And thank God the man didn't use the disciples as an indicator of whether or not Jesus could do it. I mean, it did cause some doubt. He said, if you can help me. And Jesus was like, if? What do you mean, if? There are no ifs with me. If you believe, that's the only if that counts. And the man said, I believe. I believe. And he called the demon out. Did the demon just come out and say, oh, darn, I thought I could stay here for a while? No. The demon threw a fit and had the boy looking like he was dead. Why? Because it caused more unbelief in the crowd. It says they started murmuring, saying, he's dead. And Jesus paid no attention to it. Like you all seen The Wizard of Oz, the original? Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, okay? Pay no attention to what the world has to say about spiritual things. Pay no attention to what other believers have to say about spiritual things. They may not be where you are. All that matters is what you say about it. Everybody in this room can be in agreement with your manifestation. If you are not, nothing will happen. The power of God could be here to heal, but if you don't believe, no healing will take place for you. Other folks might get healed. That man, when he was in front of Jesus and Jesus spoke to him and said, get up, pick up, go out, go home. He didn't say, but you didn't lay hands on me. He didn't say, but I thought I was going to feel heat come from the top of my head and go all through to my feet. I didn't stand there shaking for a little bit and then fall out. All you did was say, get up, pick up, leave. That's it? If your faith is full, that's it. That's it. When Jesus said, you are forgiven, if your faith was in, all you need is a word from him, and he says, you are forgiven, get up, pick up, leave. But he wanted more than that. He needed more than that. He expected more than that, and he got exactly what he was believing for. The two blind men. Two blind men. Say blind men. Blind. Were following Jesus. Blind men. It doesn't say that he was walking on a straight path. I've been to Israel and all those little streets and turns and things. They're blind. You got people with 20/20 vision can't follow Jesus, but these two blind men followed him and went into his house. Didn't ask permission. Just went into his house. And again, what did Jesus ask them a question? Do you believe I can do this? Like, yeah. You're healed. No, actually, I like what the Message Bible said. He said to them, become what you believe. And the fullness of their faith took over, and they walked away seeing. Again, didn't lay hands on them. Didn't go into a 15-minute prayer. He said to them, do you believe I can do this? Yes, become what you believe. And they said, okay. I believe I can see. I see. And they walk out. I'm making it seem that it's so simple because it really is. The thing that we get caught up in are time frames. We want things to happen yesterday. Really, we want things to happen 3 years ago. But there are other factors that are involved. I'm not boasting when I say this. I'm not proud about it. But as I said during prayer, God's not going to do anything else concerning my knees. He's already told me, lose 40 pounds. If I don't lose 40 pounds, then I'm going to spend the rest of my life with achy knees. I can confess scripture for the rest of my life. I can confess the healing scriptures nothing's going to change. Because God said, lose 40 pounds. I can have knee replacements. It's not going to work for me. Because God said, lose 40 pounds. Period. So if I'm not obedient, if God... This gets so many people in trouble. This causes so many people to go home prematurely. God says, go to the doctor. You say, I'm standing in faith. Go to the doctor. The same faith, you have to believe that what the doctor is going to tell you is right. If God tells you to go, some people have come to me, God directed me to a doctor. Okay. Yeah, but he told me to do this and this, and I'm not doing that. Whoa, wait a minute. You prayed about what to do. Yes. And God told you to go to this particular doctor. Yes. You went. Yes. And he said everything will be all right if you take these medications. Yes. But you're not taking medications because you don't believe in it. I talked to someone once. We were talking about blood pressure and blood pressure medications. And they were telling me, no, God doesn't want us to take medicines. And I said to him, I used to believe that. Until my pastor, Pastor Clint Nutterbach, got in my face one day. Walking past me, he was going to choir rehearsal. I'm waiting for a wedding rehearsal to start. Because my wife and I were wedding ministry coordinators. And he went just like this. He walked past me, and he stopped. He looked at me, went like this, and he looked at me. He came over and pointed at my face and said, you have high blood pressure, and you're not taking your medicine. My wife didn't know I'd stop taking medicine. He said, God told me to tell you, you take your medicine, or the devil will take you out of here. That's what he said. That's what he said, I know just what you did. You heard Sarah say she didn't take any medicine, and you said, I'm a believer, I'm not taking any either. I said, yep, that's about it. He said, God told her not to take the medicine. Did God tell you? No, sir, he didn't. He said, then you take your medicine. I said, yes, sir. I shared that with someone. They said, oh, no, that's not God. They stroked out and died. There have been too many people that I know that stroked out because they refused to take medicine. They were standing in faith. And now you go and you tell your loved ones, I'm in faith and God is going to take care of me, so don't worry. And then you stroke out. That damages their faith because you're not there to tell them you didn't listen to God, that you didn't do what God said. And it damages the faith of other folks. That's why operating in the fullness of our faith is so important. And when operating in fullness means you're using, there's no room for any more. You're filled to the brim with Him. That's what it means. And you operate in all of that power. All of it. Think about how much power there is in all the military might of every army on this planet. What we have is greater than that. All the military might of every single army on the planet Earth. And we've been given more than that. More than that. We've been given authority. The only person we don't have authority over is God. We have authority over everything else. But if we're not operating in the fullness of it, said, everything you ask for in the fullness of faith, you will receive. So is your faith full? That's what it amounts to. Is your faith full? If it's not, get it full. Well, how do you do that? Well, faith comes by hearing. And it stays by doing. Faith without works is dead. So you have to start doing things. As I, the analogy I always use, I don't have my cell phone with, oh yes, I do have my cell phone. I know that I can make calls with this phone. I can make and receive calls. I could send a text message with this phone. I didn't know I could take videos. When I found out that with the same phone, I could take videos, my phone didn't get any bigger. My knowledge of what this phone does increased. Then I found out, even though I haven't activated it, that I can give it voice commands. It doesn't have Siri, it has Bixby. I haven't taken the time to learn how to use Bixby. So it's available to me, but if I needed to use it, I couldn't. Why? I didn't study to show myself approved unto Samsung. I didn't do that. So even though I have the capabilities, I don't know how to use it because I didn't take the time. You can do phenomenal things with the faith that you have if you'd only take the time and do it. And just do it. Just like everybody here operated in the fullness of faith in believing that we were having healing class. Even though the computer ate my notes. You stayed. You didn't leave. Well, he doesn't have any notes, not wasting my time. I'm going. You said, no, God's still going to speak through him. And I know because I feel it pulling stuff out of me. You know. But will that same faith will cause the manifestation of whatever you're believing for if you don't let it go? You didn't start out here and stop and say, I wonder if they're going to have it tonight. I don't know. Well, they usually have it. I don't know. I think I'm going to go back home. And you miss out. Now, that may be a little silly example, but the principle is what I want you to grab hold of. The devil doesn't talk us out of stuff. We do. The devil doesn't talk us out of things. We do. All the devil does is present another set of circumstances. That's all he does. He gives you a choice. And he makes his choice look more appealing for you. And you take it. And you find out, you're like, man, I missed it. Amen. Well, yeah, you did, but it's not the end of the world. Just repent and don't do it anymore. Just go. What if it doesn't work? What if it does? What if it doesn't work? You've already proven that it works. How did I do that? You showed up. I wasn't in the room, but I'm sure no one picked up the chair. Yeah, it looks like, I think it'll hold me. Pressure. Oh, yeah, that's good. All right, yeah, okay. Fine. No, you just came in. Some sat carefully down, some plopped down. But however you did it, everyone believed this chair is going to hold me. And no one could tell you, don't go into the war room and sit in those chairs. Because they're at least 15 years old now. They may not hold you. No. You're like, they wouldn't be here if they weren't safe. So you get in it. People get in these rides at amusement parks. I saw this one, looks like a giant slingshot. Literally. Where they put you in, somebody has something, and they pull you back, and they let go, and you get propelled, you know, I don't know how many hundreds of feet in the air. And then you come back, and you hit the net. Nobody thinks the net might not hold me. No one, folks jump off of bridges with bungee cords. Even though they see pictures of cords breaking, and people losing their lives, they're convinced it's not going to happen to me. 1,000 may fall on one side and 10,000, am I right? But it's not coming near me. And then God says, I need you to go to Africa. Oh, I don't know if I can do that. I thought I wasn't going to have enough. I'm over time. Folks, all I've been trying to say is what the scripture says in Matthew. Everything. I'm going to pull it up. I want to read it right, because it's in the Passion Translation. Come on. Well, everything, when you pray, everything that you pray for in the fullness of faith, you will receive. You will. Tain't no doubt about it. You will receive it, and we need to know it, we need to understand it, and we need to act on it. Got it? Say, everything that I pray for in the fullness of faith, I will receive. Everything that I pray for in the fullness of faith, I will receive. Amen? Amen. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Tore it open to let their friend down to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important to be in agreement.
Yes.
Those four men were in agreement,
mm-hmm,
that they were going to get him in there and he was going to be healed.
That's right.
Not one of them said, I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't ask permission to do that.
Right.
They just did it.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's
the
same way with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, Shadrach didn't say, I don't know. That furnace looks kind of hot. Yeah.